Turn to Exodus chapter 20 this morning, please. Exodus chapter 20. I want to speak about the commandments of marriage this morning. Exodus chapter 20, begin in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So Moses is there with the people of Israel assembled. He's been up in the mount, received these tablets, and come down and then gives them to the people. We're going to look at these in relation to marriage this morning. Your marriage is an institution established by God. The very first institution God established. The other two being human government and the church. Those institutions God established, but this marriage was the first. And you go through the scriptures and there's many passages that deal with the subject of marriage. In fact, even there's a couple of commandments that directly deal with the relationship there as well. But I want to apply them this morning to marriage. You know, a lady once said, a husband is someone who stands by her through troubles she wouldn't have if she hadn't married him. Didn't hear any amens, ladies. A good marriage just doesn't happen. It's not the result of finding Mr. or Mrs. Right. It's not a matter of that right person, nor a matter of how committed the two of you may be to Jesus Christ. No matter how perfect, no matter how well you fit together, every marriage is composed of two flawed, fallen humans. And there will be trouble. It's not easy. And the fact that it's an institution of God, there's someone who doesn't like that. That adversary, the devil. Our fallen nature, the struggles and trials of life, complicated by the addition of one or more miniature versions of ourselves, will test and threaten the strength of the vows that you made to each other before God. For our marriages to succeed and to be all that God desires for them to be, it requires constant and diligent effort to build that relationship based upon the principles found in the Word of God. So let's see how these commandments can apply to our marriages. The first commandment is not to have any other gods. God says he wants an exclusive relationship with us. And certainly a good sound marriage is going to be built on an exclusive relationship. God expects us to have him as our one and only God. And our spouse should expect to have us as their one and only as well. God refuses to share the spotlight with another. The first commandment is it's got to be an exclusive relationship. The marriage vows traditionally include a pledge to forsake all others and to be faithful till death do us part. Not till we don't love each other anymore. You know, the Bible commands us as Christians, we're to love one another. That's a command. And love is a choice. And not loving is not an excuse. That's your failure. Don't blame it on somebody else. And that till death do we part is important. Go back to Genesis chapter 2 for just a moment. You can keep Exodus 20 if you want. Just be referring to some things there, but not really reading anything. But Genesis 2, a couple of passages. So you might want to hang on to this for just a second. But verse 21, Genesis 2, 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Exclusive. And God defines it as male and female. That's what constitutes a marriage. As someone said, it's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. That's what God intended. And an exclusive relationship, to leave and to cleave. Henry Ford was asked on his 50th wedding anniversary what the secret to his successful marriage, 50-year marriage, was. And he says, the secret is the same that I apply in business. I stuck to one model. And that's what we need to do as believers in Christ. One and only one. Committed for life in that exclusive relationship. The second commandment is not to have any graven images. Now, the Catholics combine these two together. They make these first two one to cover up for their obvious transgression of the second one. But no graven images, no replacements, no substitutes, nothing else to take the place of God in our lives. Look at verse 18 here in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. Made man first. Then he looked around and says, you know what? This isn't good. You don't need to be alone. Not good to be alone. And some of you ladies know how true that is for some of you us, right? But he says, it's not good. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. God made that woman for you. You've chosen a particular woman or man. God put you together. And there's nothing else that should come between the two of you. Nothing else should take the place of either one of you in your relationship. Nothing else is to receive your affection and your attention and your time, or to detract from your devotion to your spouse. No graven images. Love your husband or wife only. And don't seek any kind of fulfillment in any other relationship. No affections or priorities should displace your spouse. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Probably one of the greatest violations of this in our society today is pornography. It's a problem in churches. It's a problem in marriages all across this world. Here's what Jesus Christ had to say about this. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's already done. But I... in the heart. So he says it's not just a physical act. It's a mental thing. And that's that graven image that destroys so many marriages. But you know, children can become a graven image too. And too often times that happens. Yeah, you know, they demand our time. They need our special attention, especially when they're very young, in infant stage and so forth. But it continues. And even after they're out of the house, they still get our attention. But don't make them an idol. Because first and foremost, your spouse is to be your priority. And we need to be sure that we don't allow that substitute to come in the place in our relationship. But it's not only children, it's work, it's play, it's hobbies, it's sports, a lot of things. And again, none of those things are wrong. But don't let them take the place of your spouse in your relationship. He or she needs to be the priority, the one who has first place in everything that you do. The third commandment is not to take the Lord's name in vain. Now, vain means to be empty, no value, not giving value or importance to it, not showing the due respect. And how many times do we do that with our spouse? We need to speak well of our spouse. A few things can affect a relationship, like words. And words can't be taken back. Once that's out there, that's out there. And it takes a long time sometimes to get over some of those words. Don't speak ill of your spouse. We can be too careless and too hurtful with our words. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. He's talking about the tongue here. He says this beginning in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And sometimes we just, you know, say something offhandedly without really thinking much, and not realizing just what a big conflagration that thing can grow into. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Think about that. Pretty strong language, isn't it? Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can now no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Go over to Matthew chapter 15, for Jesus comments on this as well. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Not that which goeth out of the mouth defileth a man, but that which goeth into the mouth, defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then Peter said, answered and said unto him, Declare unto us a parable. And Jesus said, Are ye so yet without understanding? Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Oh, it's just words, but it's revealing what's in here. And we get angry, and in the heat of the moment, we say something from here, and it hurts, and it does a lot of damage. It's that fire that is set forth and consumes. Be careful of your words. And most of all, guard your heart, because those words reveal what's in here. Words are vessels. Do you realize that? Love, hate, joy, bitterness. That's what those words carry. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Certainly, some of these things can apply outside of the marriage relationship as well, but our focus this morning is on marriage. But look at verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4. Paul admonished the believers, let now no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We as God's people need to be known as ones who minister grace, not bitterness, hatred, anger, strife, and so forth. Minister the right things. Let your words be carriers of the vessels of the right kind of things. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11. Proverbs 25:11, word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Fitly spoken. Not corrupt communications coming from our mouths. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Don't speak in vain. Colossians 4:6 tells us that let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. The fourth commandment is to honor the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a time for the people to cease from their work, to rest from their labors, to put that all aside, and to devote that day to the worship and service of God. A time of exclusively devoted for God. Everything else put aside for Him. Husbands and wives, you need to spend time together. You need to carve out that time. Again, you know, our lives get so busy, and especially with children, they just consume a lot of it. But you still need to try to carve out some time for each other. Because one day, you may be like Eileen and I and some of the others here. You know, they've all flown the coop. And then you're just sitting there staring at each other across the table. So be sure you got something to work with now that will carry on through those years coming ahead. Spend time, quality time together. Marriage is getting in trouble when we get too busy and devote the time to everything else. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is really taken out of Genesis 2. Which we already read, but here in Ephesians 5, he's talking about marriage. Verse 31, he says this, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Over there in Genesis, it says cleave. Just hang on. Develop that relationship. Make that time for each other. Number five is honor your father and mother. Well, you need to honor your spouse as well. You're in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Boy, people hate this today. I remember years ago, I was preaching a wedding, and I was stressing on this, and there was a woman in the back, and man, I mean, she's just pancing back and forth like a caged tiger. Boy, she hated what I was saying about that, but I'm just saying what God said. He's the one that made us. He's the one that established the order in the relationship. I think God knows a little bit more about us than our modern society does. And he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." God has set it up that the husband is the head of the family. God set it up that the pastor is the head of the church. We may not like it, but he's the one that the issue needs to be taken up with. And he had a perfect reason for doing this. He knows us. So we're to honor each other. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Man, we've got a responsibility to love our wives, to devote ourselves to them, and not to speak evil of them, not to run them down before other people. Well, you see that a lot. especially if there's already some friction between the two and you get together in a public setting and then they just start yammering about each other to other people. That's not honoring them. That's dishonoring them. We need to honor them by acts to demonstrate our gratitude and appreciation for what God has given to us. The spouse that God has given to us. Well, maybe I wasn't saved when we got married and God didn't give her to me. Oh, really? You chose her. God let you choose her or him. Now you're stuck. Now love them like God expects you to. And honor them like God expects you to. Number 6, do not kill. Regardless of how tempting it might be at times. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. There's a Christian songwriter, comedian, and one of the songs he wrote was, "If my nose was running money, I'd blow it all on you." And he had all these things about these country songs, names these country songs. And one of them was, "If I'd shot you when I wanted to, I'd be out by now." But we're not to kill. But look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. "You have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, rock, I shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." So just like he took the thing about adultery and you don't have to actually commit it, it can be here. You may not take a knife or a gun to your spouse, but even that anger, letting that thing get out of control, can do the same thing. Well, it may not kill them physically, but it can do so emotionally. Don't kill them. You know, we're prone to anger quickly and to forgive slowly. Think about that. Over in James chapter 1, it says, "And let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Don't be in a hurry to get angry. But you know what we need to be in a hurry to do? Forgive. Because a lot of times we're quick to angry and slow to forgive. And we really need to reverse that thing. Be slow to angry and quick to forgive. And that anger can come out in words, and sometimes it comes out in silence. But it's still the same thing. And it's destructive to your relationship. Be kind. Speak kindly. Act kindly. Words of praise and affirmation. Billy Sunday, the old evangelist back in the 30s, I believe it was, he said, "Try praising your wife, even if it frightens her a little bit at first." You know, and I think men, we fail in that respect a lot of times. We're not as quick as we ought to give praise and encouragement to our spouse. We need to do that. Don't tear them down, but build them up. The 7th commandment is don't commit adultery. And there's one that directly deals with the marriage relationship without any kind of stretching things or anything. We need to prefer our spouse above all others. And that pornography thing today is just, it leads to other things a lot of times. Look over at Proverbs 5, Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning verse 15. This is Solomon, the man that had 300 wives and 700 concubines. And he's writing the Proverbs to his son. Ecclesiastes, the same thing. As he gets back at the end of his life and realizes what a mess he made of his own life, he's trying to give his son and others some things to protect themselves and to help them from making the same mistakes that he made. And here, verse 15 in Proverbs 5, it says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. You know the old expression, the grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence, but it's still got to be mowed. And what seems greener from your side, once you get on the other side, you might realize that things were better off where you were. Just stick with your own cistern. Verse 16, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets, let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Stick with what you got. Because if you don't, there's nothing but sorrow and grief that follows that thing. Divorce is a real problem today. And you know what? The statistics say that there's little difference between the divorce rate outside of the church and inside of the church. Be careful. Is divorce the unpardonable sin? No. But there's going to be some problems that follow because of it. You're better off just staying where you're at. So don't commit adultery. Be satisfied with your own life. The next, number eight, is thou shalt not steal. Be a person of integrity. Be a person that your spouse knows can be counted on, can be trusted. And stealing certainly undermines that integrity. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. Be truthful. Goes along with the last one, really, in integrity, but be truthful. Speak the truth. Honesty and trust are essential to a good marriage. Look at Genesis 2 one more time. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. We've read the verses before this about the man being taken from the rib and to leave and to cleave. In verse 25, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Certainly that has the physical nakedness in mind there, but I think it's much more than just that. I think there's that complete openness that's suggested by that thing. That there should, between a husband and a wife, there should be nothing hidden. No secrets. Complete honesty, one with another, all the time. It's essential for your marriage to be what it ought to be. And the last one is to not covet. your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your, none of those things. Be content. Be content with the spouse you've chosen. Be content. You know, and there's no question about it. Illness, different things can make a marriage very, very difficult. And can certainly change things, prevent things that are normally a part of marriage. But most of all, if we are God's children, our contentment needs to be in our relationship first and foremost with God. And God says he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Paul talks about, look at Philippians chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2 that I'm looking for. No. He talked about, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to suffer need. I know how to want. Help me out. Where is that, Jason? No, it's Philippians. It's chapter 4. Philippians 4, I'm sorry. Verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul wrote this from prison. Life was not sweet and pleasant at that time in his life. But he says, this is what I've learned. Regardless, I've learned to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So even though maybe your marriage has gotten into that time where things are rough and illness and so forth have made life difficult, and eliminated things from your relationship, you need to be content. Because it's more than just what we get in this life. The last song we sang, I forget what it is now, but it ended up in Cana Bay. There's a crown, there's a reward that we're looking for. Be content in whatsoever state you're in. And give God the glory and honor. Learn to be content in him. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I pray for our marriages to become all that you desire for them to be. Lord, I don't know what's going on in anyone's lives here this morning. But just from our own marriage, I know that we've had some rough patches. We've had some good times as well. God, I thank you for the bride that you have blessed me with and helped me to be a better husband to her than I have been. Help me, God, to be kind and loving toward her as I should, to be respectful of her, honoring of her. And God, each of us, that we would do that and glorify your name in the doing of that. Lord, I know there's one here and maybe more that are contemplating or even preparing for marriage in the near future. Help their lives together to be all that you desire for them to be, but help it to be realistic as well. Understanding that it's not oftentimes like we dreamed, but it can be all that you desire for it to be as we submit ourselves to you and to one another. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. Help us, God, to be a healthy church established upon healthy marriages and families. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to number 286 in your hymn books.